trying to bring you a story that is just unfolding.
We need to eliminate all uncertainty before we take any action. It's certainly not a risk analysis they apply to other areas where they take dramatic action, you know, the Iraq war being a glaring case in point.
The United States and China obviously have differences, but look at the things we have in common. We need a stable world to allow...
That's a big question.
Well, we got time.
If you don't know how to fix it, stop breaking it.
If we act boldly, we can make significant progress in reversing the potential
damage. We need to take some responsibility.
Cap and trade, you think that's really the answer?
Yeah, it is.
Short and sweet.
When you start cutting your energy bill, you start giving your city opportunity.
Welcome to EcoTalk, where we bring you sound solutions for a healthier planet and people. We do that free of charge. Free to you, not to me, but that's another story for another day, because we give a damn. And Barbara Boxer also gives a damn. In fact, that was the slogan of her 1982 campaign for the House of Representatives. And for 25 years, Senator Boxer has been giving a damn for the American people, American priorities, and for global environmental sustainability, especially recently. Senator Boxer joins us today to tell us what she told the National Press Club and of the possibility for strong, practical environmental legislation now that she, and not James Inhofe, is holding the gavel and is not afraid to wield it, especially against him. And just in time for Earth Day, we will be chatting with Matt Peterson of Global Green USA. He has five top things we can all do to reduce climate change. And finally, traveling is both how we come to see and appreciate the Earth's beauty and grandeur. It's also where we tend to tread quite heavily on the Earth. And with our big carbon and disposable footprints, we all can make a difference. Janine Diefendorf from Orbitz will stop by to talk about how to travel sustainably this summer. Without any further delay, want to welcome to EcoTalk Barbara Boxer. It's been a long time coming. We've been cheering you on from the sidelines. Wonderful to be able to say congratulations for all your bold leadership in person.
Well, Betsy, thank you. And thank you for everything you do, because frankly, if we're going to get anything done, we have to have the people understand that this is the moment. We've got just really a few years to act to turn things around here in terms of global warming, and I so appreciate your work.
Thank you. Likewise, and you are turning heads as you are just a stand, such a strong stand for taking action right now on climate change. How did your briefing on the IPCC report go, and with the Washington Press Club on the IPCC report, I should say?
Right. Well, actually, the two separate things that we did, we had our second meeting with the scientists from the IPCC, really just to hear from them, the scientists, in their own way, in their own words, as to how serious the problem this is. And they continue to say they are very certain that we are in trouble. And as a matter of fact, one of them said that and produced a chart showing we could lose up to 40% of the species if we don't act. Imagine, 40% of the species. You know, it's just enough to make you just cringe. And then, of course, this week we also had another kind of a bombshell from the military establishment. They're telling us that they look forward and they see fights over the last drops of water and arable land and, you know, danger from refugees running away to find safe places to live. And it's another, you know, flag that we have to take into account. So today I had a speech before the press club just kind of putting all this together and laying out the fact that we just don't have a choice. This is our job. We have to save the planet for our grandchildren, or they're just not going to have the kind of life that we had in any way, shape, or form.
In a comprehensive article in last Sunday's New York Times Magazine, I'm sure you saw it, Thomas Friedman asserted that we need a New Deal-scale plan to confront climate change and energy. Do you think that's the scale we're starting to see action on? And I know you're really committed to continuing to just keep hammering that be done now.
Well, actually, I think what Thomas Friedman says is right. I mean, we need a new ethic in this country where green is patriotic and green is capitalistic and green is sensible for us in terms of our geopolitical world and in every way. So, I mean, he's basically saying we've got to understand that this is where the future lies. And, you know, I approach this issue not out of fear, although you could be fearful if you hear the scientists, but hope, because the fact is there are so many things we can do. We know that 40% of the problem comes from our power plants. We know that a third of the problem comes from our mobile sources, transportation sources, and the rest comes from heavy industry and others. So we know that there's a roadmap for us here. And in light of the Supreme Court's recent decision, which said that the EPA has the authority, without any further legislation, to regulate carbon emissions, that we expect our EPA to take action, and we're pushing them hard.
And an unlikely environmental leader, Mr. Hummer himself, leading the way, really creating the roadmap or blueprint or green print, unlikely as that is, he's really set some good standards that you're trying to bring nationally.
Well, I think what has happened in California is just great. The good news is it's happening in about 39 states across this country, because Republicans and Democrats have come together in 29 states in this nation. And certainly California is a model, because we have a Democratic legislature that pushed hard. The governor worked with them, and with their leadership, we have a great bill. And now we have to see here at the federal government that we're helping California, not hindering California. We have to have the EPA grant a waiver to California so they can move ahead with their clean car provisions that Fran Pavley wrote. So there's lots that we can do here and should do without any legislation. And then, of course, there's some great opportunities for legislation. We've already passed a bill through my committee that deals with government buildings becoming models of energy efficiency. We passed that with a provision that also makes grants to cities and counties throughout the country. So there's a lot on my plate, but I will tell you, with the work you're doing and the work that so many are doing across this country, I think we can get this done.
Conservation starts in the house, after all, right? Begin
at
home.
It certainly does. We know. Just if every single household, and I'm asking my staff to make sure I'm saying this right, if every single household just changed one light bulb, we would save, it would be like taking 6 million cars off the road every single year.
Right, but Congress...
Just one household.
And you're doing your part to make sure that Congress cleans up its own house as well,
yes,
in terms of walking the talk.
What we're doing here in our own Environment Committee is, just today they started putting in our energy efficient lighting, and as I said, we passed a bill to make government buildings models of energy efficiency.
I have to ask you about the significance of the Supreme Court ruling recently, Massachusetts versus EPA. That really seems to have been a turning point.
Well, I believe it's a turning point, because there's no excuse now for the Environmental Protection Agency to say, well, we can't act until Congress amends the Clean Air Act. No, not true. If you read the Clean Air Act, it was very obvious that carbon emissions fall under the definition of pollutant, and they refuse to acknowledge that. And it's been a long and hard fight, and 5-4, the court came down on the side that says, yes, indeed, EPA, you can act now. And so this is a wind at my back, because, you know, it's a lot easier for the EPA to move without having to go through, you know, hours and hours of testimony, marking up bills, and the rest of it.
No excuses. It's taken their excuse away.
No excuses.
Feels
exactly.
Great. You had some very emotional testimony to the press club. I'm just reading some of the excerpts. You talked about your 11-year-old grandson,
mm-hmm.
and about to be born grandson as well. I think congratulations.
Thank you.
We owe it to our children and grandchildren and beyond to leave them an environment that is at least as clean and beautiful and complex as what we got. And yet we're not on course to be doing that. And that's
We're severely off course. And I think, you know, the good news of the story is that we can get on course. There's so many opportunities. I call it low-hanging fruit. You know, the energy efficiency part is just waiting to happen. If the rest of the nation just followed our lead from California in terms of energy-efficient appliances and all of our laws, I will tell you right now, we would see a huge reduction in the carbon footprint of this country. And if we could work together and have a Manhattan Project for clean coal, really clean coal, because we don't have clean coal. We have filthy coal and less filthy coal. We really don't have clean coal.
Can we quote you on that?
You can quote me. I'm doing this interview. The fact is, we're not there yet. Now, we can get there, but we need an investment. And, you know, when I think of what this president is doing, just throwing away dollars and lives in Iraq, it breaks my heart for a small percentage of what he is wasting there on a policy that has failed, on a policy that can never work, because it isn't diplomatic or political or strategic. It's a military solution to a situation that can't be solved militarily. If we could just take these resources and put them into the right places, first of all, we'll have a strong economy. We will create the technologies that can be exported. We'll have green-collar jobs. And, you know, we're being told day in and day out by the military that this is going to be a big cause of wars if we don't take care of global warming. So all in all, we need to act. But I just want to thank you so much for the interview, and I've enjoyed it very much.
Oh, can we get one last question really quickly since you brought President Bush up? I understand you asked him to convene a summit of the top 12 emitting nations to discuss global warming. What was his response?
Well, so far we haven't received a response from the president on our suggestion. And by the way, I must say that idea came to me through Tony Blair, Prime Minister of England. Mm-hmm. He said to me, look, because we had a few of us go and visit him, he said that he had suggested this to the president. And I said, well, I'm going to back you up on this idea. Because, you know, it's no excuse to say, well, China isn't doing anything in India. We don't sit around waiting for China to lead on the environment. I mean, this is a country that has destroyed the Yangtze River. We're not about to wait. I mean, for them, this is a country that's polluting the air with coal-fired plants day in and day out, and people are choking. Since when do we wait for China to lead on the environment?
Well, we're not leading ourselves.
We have to be a leader, and that's what I'm pushing for.
Well, you are a leader of the first degree, Barbara Boxer. We can't wait till you run for president.
Oh, Betsy, please, if you were my friend, you'd never say that. Thank you so much.
We consider you our friend, and thank you for your great work. We're cheering you on.
Thank you, Betsy.
Senator Barbara Boxer, one of our heroes. We'll be back right after these messages.